This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Before we do anything else, we're going to welcome Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski to the program. Good to have you with us here this morning. I can't even imagine what that was like. I'm watching from afar. Did you have family out there? You know, what was it like just sort of behind the scenes going, oh my God, day four? You know what?
It
must have been surreal.
It was surreal, and it's good to be with you again, Brian. Good morning. It took all week. I had family and friends out there on that Tuesday to be sworn in, and, you know, this was something, electing a Speaker of the House, that's pretty pro forma. I mean, it's pretty just like you do it, you get done with it, you move on, everybody has time to celebrate. It's a huge deal. It's an honor to get sworn into Congress, but this took 15 votes, several days. And now we're at a point where, now that we have that finally behind us, we can get to the work of it, which is really what I'm the most anxious to do. I still don't have committee assignments yet. That's something that I'm really hopeful I'm going to be able to know what committees I'm going to be able to serve on this week. But the whole process, you know, really held us back, and I'm anxious to get to the work of it, like I said. So hopefully we'll have some more progress this week.
All right. What committees are you hoping for?
My number one pick, Brian, I'd love to be on the House Agriculture Committee. There's a farm bill that's going to be negotiated this year and next year. It only comes up once every 5 years. So I think this is a huge opportunity for me to work together, I think on a bipartisan basis, to have some real deliverables for communities throughout Central and Southern Illinois. I had an opportunity to meet with ADM since the election. I've also met with the University of Illinois. I've met with the Farm Bureau. I've been meeting with constituents. The Farm Bill has a real opportunity to help, I think, the communities throughout this district. And so I want to be working on that, and I'm really hopeful I'm going to find out I can be on that committee.
Well, agriculture, certainly the leading job sector in all of the state of Illinois. So I would certainly think that makes sense for you. All right. So, as you know, early life, you know, you were on the other side of this, helping get other people elected. What did you learn being on the candidate side? You know, because assume that all the work was celebrated, you know, election night, and then you were done. Now you got to go do the job.
Right, exactly. I'm hoping that those experiences working in state and federal policy on issues, you know, like broadband, on issues like workforce development infrastructure, that is going to help me be an effective member of Congress with real deliverables for the people of this district. I think those experiences inform, you know, obviously the things that I'm working on today. Infrastructure is just one example, Brian. I mean, I had the opportunity to work in the governor's office on Rebuild Illinois, which is the largest infrastructure package that the state has done. Now I'm hoping on the federal level to bring back critical dollars for infrastructure that are going to help our communities. College Brush Road, I know, is a huge project, just as an example indicator that we need to find the federal funds to finish. I want to work with the mayor and business and labor to get that done. I'm hoping the experiences I've had at the staff level are going to help me be more effective on projects like this.
All right. So I know you've only been there a short time, but you're not an outsider to D.C., you know, with chief of staff for OMB in the Biden administration. What's your sense so far? Are there more people like you there that want to get the job done, or is the sense outside looking in, there's more people just worried about getting on TV and yelling at each other?
I hope. I really feel like that was the message coming out of the November election, is that the people of Central and Southern Illinois don't want to send a member that just wants to be a part of the political noise. That's not my interest. I'm a workhorse, not a show horse. So, you know, I mentioned the Farm Bill. I'll give you one example, Brian. I've made it a point to, you know, reach across the party aisle already. One of the members that I've met with is the new freshman from Des Moines. His name's Zach Nunn. He's a Republican. We met in the new member orientation. I said, hey, I represent a capital city. So do you. We both care a lot about agriculture. Let's work together. He invited me to his state fair. I invited him to mine. So I'm going to go to Iowa State Fair this summer, and I'm looking forward to it. But I think those are the kind of relationships with people that want to get things done that I'm looking to build, because I think that in the long term is going to serve the communities of the 13th District the best.
All right. So what's been the most surprising thing to you as a newly elected member of Congress? What surprised you the most?
You know, I do think that I've had an opportunity to meet with the members around this district. I did have an opportunity to sit down with Congresswoman Mary Miller. As you know, she shares Macon County with me. Actually, six of the seven counties in this district are shared with Congresswoman Miller. I share St. Clair County with Congressman Bost. And then in St. Louis, Congresswoman Cori Bush. I've sat down with all of them because I want to try to find the places where we can agree. And I would tell you, I know there are a lot of places where we're not going to. But I do think there's an openness, and that's what I've been surprised, I guess pleasantly surprised to find, that on the places that maybe it's agriculture, maybe it's veterans issues, that across the party aisle there are some folks that hopefully we can find some places to get some stuff done.
All right. And then have you found it, you know, as a former member of the Biden administration, are you finding yourself fielding questions, particularly now that these documents have been discovered? And it's funny because it seems to me like, you know, if the other side does it, it's all wrong. If our side does it, let me tell you why it's not. I mean, that we're like really superficial about top secret stuff. People just aren't doing like, I mean, it seems like there's a larger problem, but it's kind of discerning that you know, people are just taking this stuff home with them.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, as somebody that did serve as the chief of staff at the Office of Management and Budget and encountered those types of documents, they're handled with care, and that's for a really serious reason. And so we have to take the handling of classified documents very serious. Obviously, the news, no matter who, you know, wherever mishandling is happening on the Democratic or Republican side, it's concerning. I do think that there's a distinction, though, that's important to make between how two different presidents are handling the same situations. I think it's good that the president, the current president Biden, is being transparent, coming forward, cooperating, and handing over documents immediately. If you juxtapose that to how President Trump handled this, you know, they had to raid Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah,
to retrieve these documents.
I'm not saying that's a distinction without a difference, but it's still to most Americans, I think, that are just being fair down the middle. It's like you can't sit and point fingers at one guy when you got stuff sitting in your garage next to the Corvette.
Totally agree. I totally agree. And I think the thing that's frustrating from my perspective as a new congressperson 3 weeks into the job is it's a huge distraction. You know, we need to get to the work of this. People are still struggling. Inflation is in some ways kind of stabilizing, but we have a lot of work to do there. Working people are struggling to still pay their bills. That's the work that I really think people in Central and Southern Illinois want to see me work on. And when you have these the news like we've had come out on documents or, you know, investigations and things like that, it's like we need to be looking into those things seriously, but we can't let them be a complete distraction to the work that's going to actually help people in their daily lives.
All right. What's the latest on Ukraine from your fellow Dems and even people across the aisle? I mean, I know that this is gone on and on and on, and there are some that are critical about, you know, helping. Most, I think, are in favor of it. What's the latest there in the Capitol about our support of Ukraine?
Well, we need to stand with Ukraine. It's critically important from a long-term perspective, not allowing Putin to do this, to actually attack another country's sovereignty. Because the bigger question is then, of course, it doesn't stop there. And we can't allow that to stand in a free world. And so the United States partnering with Ukraine and that partnership is critically important. You know, we don't want to be providing, you know, military support, but what we can be providing is other kind of financial support. Obviously, the price tag on that is getting high. And I am concerned about that, and we need to be very mindful of that in our spending. But I think that this partnership is a really important one that we need to be standing with the people of Ukraine on.
All right. Congresswoman, we appreciate the time. Please reach out. We'll have you on anytime you'd like. And congratulations on finally getting in. Congressman Nikki Baczynski, live from D.C. there.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.